I want to move on. I have some words and some observations, but before I do that, I have some visions regarding the country and then some different things that I felt like God wanted to begin to address. But before I do that, I want to open it up. Michelle, is that you, my sweetheart? Michelle Barrias, are you on?
Yes.
I love you. Do you want to say anything now or do you want to wait till later?
No, I'm good.
I love you. She's an amazing prophet and we love her and adore her. Does anybody have anything that's burning in your heart that you have to say before I move on? Hold on. Okay, Jenny, hold on. Okay. Kim, yes, go ahead, honey.
Well, the other day while I was praying in the morning, I saw this vision, and for those who don't know, I see a lot of things, and I'm just going to read the little page from my journal. It said, what I saw was a door, and I saw myself on one side, and there was knocking, and I was like, who is it? And the Lord said, beware, I'm not the only one knocking at your door. I have a distinctive knock. The enemy tries to copycat it. And I thought that was so great what Jeannie was saying about, you know, hey, turn off media, you know, just kind of detox from stuff like that. Because the enemy is trying to emulate the Lord, and he's knocking. And so I was like, who is it? Who is it? And he says, know my knock. Always ask who it is before you open the door to your heart. You have control of who or what you let in. Again, going back to what Jeannie just said. Keep the door closed. Keep your eye gate closed to the enemy. It's easy to kick him out if he enters. Leave my blood, for I am here. He will flee. Your angels will assist. So that was on 2:9 that the Lord gave me that. And I just really want to just say yes to what Jeannie said about just turning off and making sure the knock, you know, because we could just open the door and say, who is it? But no, who is it before you open the door?
Wow, I love that. And then, Kim, did you say in there, the angels will assist? And was that regarding a discernment or basically keeping the door shut or both?
I think it was more discernment, kind of like,
I love it.
Be careful. Be careful.
I love that.
And the Lord's already in my heart, you know, I've let him in, he's not, so anything that's trying to knock and emanate is like, well, Jesus is already in here, don't need to let anyone else in.
So good, I love that. I'm just kind of looking over some of your comments to make sure that I'm not missing anything here. If I need to respond to any of you, just give me a moment here. Yes, Victor, thank you so much, Gloria a Dios, and thank you for translating it into Spanish. Hi, Pastor Jeannie. So glad you're back. Question for today. Does Lord ever give us prophetic words or sentences that are past tense? This morning I got my brother was attacked. That sentence is past tense. So I wonder if that was the enemy, as I never receive a prophetic word that is past tense. That is a good question. And that was from, let me see, let me scroll back and see who that was from. I can't tell who it was from. But anyway, the answer is, it's very interesting. Many of you know this. In the prophetic, I personally have been challenged with past, present, or future things. Yes, God will tell you things from the past. In fact, even words of knowledge are information about a person, place, or thing, present or past. So yes, and God will speak things about the past. And even the verbiage of that, though, lets you know that it may be something current. So if he was attacked, it could be spiritually, it could be physically, it could be emotionally, or it could be mentally. So even the way that's worded could be, because he was attacked, it could be he is presently still being attacked. So yes, in the spirit, there's no time in the spirit. Oh, Sandy, there you are, honey. It was Sandy. Hi, honey. So yes, absolutely. And so I was told that, I would take it as a present truth, because if somebody was attacked, you know, for example, if I heard the Lord say, your brother, which I have a brother, I have a twin brother, actually, your brother was attacked, then I would be like, oh my gosh, I just need to pray for him. It means that something happened in the past, but I need to pray about it now. And he's telling you about it now. Now, again, remember, many words are parabolic. Most things in the, many things in the prophetic are parabolic, especially if they're visions. And so, but the point is that it can be attacked how? It can be spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, his job, his family. So pray anything and everything that comes to mind, and then pray in tongues. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, you just stay on afterwards and I'll get you baptized in the Holy Ghost. Remember we had that prayer time, Martha and Norma, where we had that time of being baptized in the Holy Spirit on a Zoom call.
And Sandy too.
On a Zoom call. Yes, glory to God. Let me go ahead and scroll down, make sure I haven't missed anything else. Yeah, dude, that's a good idea. If I can, let me see if I can, it was written small, and so then I went ahead and, dude said I had permission to share this word, but let me see if I can actually get it pulled up so I could read it. It was kind of small. Oh my gosh, it is really small. Okay, this is going to be fun. This is like translating hieroglyphics. Okay, hold on. I love this. Wrote this, and it just, I was like, I need a copy of that, because it just spoke to me, and I pray it'll speak to you as well. It was a prophetic word last night on our prayer call, and it was the Lord saying, you feel faint, but you're not faint, because I'm not faint. I'm not faint, and I dwell in you. I go before you in my not faintness, quote unquote. When you look in your hands and find nothing, look to my hands. I had eternity in them. I stand in the moment of victory, yet I also stand in the darkest hour. This is why striving in my name rather than striving in my presence brings a different result. Strive in my presence. Gaze. What does it say? Cease fixing it, quote unquote. For I have already taken care of it for you. Now, dude, you have an assignment. Go get your journal and read it to us. Go get it, dude. Like, I'm scrolling back and forth. It is so powerful and anointed when he reads it, okay? So anyway, let me just scroll down and finish getting back to you, some of you on maybe some things. Thank you, Victor. Amen. Thank you. And please feel free to put up your hand if I miss you. Amen, Martha, Norma. Yeah, there's been a lot of disappointment. I cried and cried. I know. We'll talk about it. Amen. Okay, good. Let me put this down. I want to greet some of you that have, if I don't get back to you, be sure to put a hand up. I'm going to go to the next page and make sure that I've greeted people. And so I just want to give a shout out again saying hi to you. I have two pages, so I might have to go back and forth. Lupe, I love you. Such a powerful prayer warrior. Okay, so, dude, do you have it?
Yep, right here.
I want you guys just to receive. This is such a blessing. Go ahead.
All right. I wish you could have read it, because you know how I cry.
Well, I cried last night. And Kim knows. She's like, I bet you Jeannie wants a copy of that.
All right. So you feel faint, but you are not. You are not faint because I am not faint. I am not faint, and I dwell in you. I go before you in my not faintness. When you look in your hands and find nothing, look to my hands. I hold eternity in them. I stand in the moment of victory, yet I also stand in the darkest hour. This is why striving in my name rather than striving in my presence brings a different result. Strive in my presence. Cease fixing it. For I have already taken care of your it. Become familiar again with these words. Be still and know that I am God. Come unto me, for my burden is easy and light. Remember this. Many do not know how to come to me. I need you. I need my church. I will give you courage. I will give you courage to walk among the fields which are ripe with harvest. I will shield you from the sting of the harsh words flung without reserve by the tares in that field. You know that it's me that they are rejecting, and not you. Remember that we walk in the field together. Turn to me when you begin to hear their murmurs. Turn and fear not, for I am the Ancient of Days. I remain the same, and I am with you. Hearken your ear to the I love yous that I whisper into the air. They outnumber all of the evils ever spoken, and they cannot be unsaid. Place them in your heart and see how they multiply and overflow. I have as many I love yous for all of my beloved. He who has ears, let him hear. Duding.
So good. Thank you so much, dude. Dude and Kim are amazing prophetic voices. They paint prophetically. I can't wait till we have meetings again. They paint prophetic pictures, and they get visions all the time and words. It's such a blessing. And dude really just carries the heart of God. And I just love those two. And I'm so happy that you're all with me. And each one of you, I just am so blessed by you, and I love you. And so I wanted to share some things that I saw over the nation prophetically, and I'm not sure how much I'll share about some personal things, but I do want to share with you some things that I feel like the Lord was saying. And then again, not taking sides, okay? We're not taking sides here, but basically some things so you know where my heart is and where I'm kind of coming from. In 2020, I had a vision. I did not share it with anybody because it wasn't what I wanted. And that's where we get in trouble sometimes, everybody. When we get something and we're like, no, we're going to pray and stop that, okay? Because there is power in revelation to have authority to stop it, push it back, or diminish it. Okay, revelation gives authority. If you have a dream, a word about something, you have authority to stop it, push it back, or diminish it. Okay, so for example, Jesus asked Peter, whom do men say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I think it's in Matthew 16. And he said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Therefore, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, and on this I will build my church. When you have revelation, you're given authority. You are invited into the counsel of God to affect something. So when I share with you some things that I saw, please keep in mind that it was for the purpose of stopping it, pushing it back to a different time, or diminishing it, okay? So in 2020, probably around late spring, I had a vision where I saw an American flag draped over the continent of the United States, and it was wrapped around it like a flag over a coffin. And I knew that the enemy was trying to cause death in regarding the United States of America. So of course, I didn't tell people about it because I didn't want to cause that kind of representation. I still don't, because I'm believing the Lord. Let's put it this way. I woke up the other day with this. Pray America great again. Do you hear me? Pray America great again. So that's kind of where I'm coming from, okay? The Bible says, first of all, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So yes, I'm going to pray for America. I'm also going to pray for all the other nations in the world, because I'm a daughter of a king, and I live in a and I serve a kingdom that is not of this world, okay? So that was in probably about late spring. In the fall, months later, I saw the flag not only cut in half, in fact, it was done with scissors, which was interesting because it was like, scissors are like the hand of people or the hand of man it was representing. And it was not just cut in half. The flag over the continent was not only cut in half, but it was very divided and jagged. It wasn't a smooth cut. It was very, very jagged. And it speaks to me now about not only our country divided, but we see the prophetic movement divided, we see the body of Christ divided, we see streams in the body of Christ divided. It's a wonderful time to be alive because we get to readdress these things and rebuild the kingdom of God going forth with understanding, unity, and love. Can I get an amen? All right. So this isn't the end. This is the beginning. Okay. This is something great God's doing because he has to bring the corrections. Okay. And so I did have a dream about President Biden. And this was in fall. For some reason, I have to apologize. I'm doing a lot of that lately, and I will continue to on this prophetic forum. You're going to learn from some of my mistakes. Is that okay? One of them was I didn't look back on my journal when I shared this dream with others, and I was saying it was the night of the election. For me, it felt like it was the night of the election. I didn't purposely lie about that. But as I went back on my journal today to type out what was in my prayer journal, it was actually the 12th of November. So it was probably about a week then after the election. Forgive me, those of you that I said I had a dream the night of the election. Looking back on it, you know me and time, it just kind of all blended together. I didn't do it on purpose, but I do apologize for being inaccurate with that date. According to my journal, it was the 12th of November that I had a dream. Now, at that time, I'm just going to tell you the dream. In the dream, I was in a large fancy banquet room where there was white tablecloths. It was a place where people were celebrating. It was like a reception. It was a celebratory thing. I knew in the dream, it felt like it was, when I woke up, it felt like it was the like an inauguration celebration or something like that, okay? Joe Biden, his wife, the vice president, and there were officials, people that you could tell that they were officials in the government, they were there. I was sitting across the table from Joe Biden. And in the dream, I actually was watching this as this happened. He reached across the table. He draped himself over the table and seemingly supernaturally, his hand and his arm stretched out towards me to touch me. In the dream, I don't actually remember whether or not he actually touched me or not. I just know he reached out to touch me. He may have, I don't remember. He lowered his head actually below mine as he bent over to touch me, which I thought was noteworthy. People were scattered about, and I remember there was not a full room. The whole room was not filled. There were still places left at the table or in that room. I remember somebody coming up behind me to my left and saying that it was my job to clean things up. Afterwards, Biden sat up after he reached out towards me, his arm and hand like one of those stretch things, you know, kind of stretched out towards me supernaturally to reach me. Then he sat up, he walked out of the room, and as he walked out of the room, all of the officials, the Secret Service, and all the very important people kind of walked out with him. I was helping to clean up after him. What was interesting is in my journal, thank God for journals, because I actually had forgotten about some things, and I'm not going to share all of them right now. But one of them was my job was to clean up, and if there was anything left behind, to bring it to him, which I thought was interesting. I have to be honest with you, up to that point, my heart was very kind of hardened. I'm going to be honest with you, I was hardened towards him, but because he didn't represent what I felt like was good for America. Okay, I'm being honest with you. I'm not going politics here. I'm just saying as a person, okay, I'm not please trust me, I'm trying to kind of address some of this. But I want to be honest with you, I had really hardened my heart towards him because it was not in line at all with what I was praying, even at that time, okay? But when I woke up, God kind of touched my heart to be able to at least pray for him. Does that make sense? To pray that he knows the Lord, to pray for him as a president, that he will come to the Lord, to pray for him, that he will stop doing stuff that's not pleasing to the Lord. Does that make sense to you? Okay. That as I would pray for any president, that he would come to the Lord, that him and his wife would, we were praying for them again, praying for even Jill last night on our prayer call. And I'm going to talk more about that later as well. You know, the Bible says that first of all, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. I know that many have been told, don't celebrate with them, don't pray for them, do not align yourself with them. But the Bible says to pray for them. Jesus said, give to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and give to God that which is God. Now, Caesar was killing Christians, okay, persecuting them. And there's a place of humility where God wants us to go back to what does the Bible say, not based on, and I'm going to say it, partisanship. There's something that's come. All of that mean-spiritedness, so much of the mean-spiritedness that we've seen on so many different levels from so many different people, I'm concerned that I'm starting to see it among my own friends, okay? This is something the Lord's dealing with me. I'm going to put it like this. God is dealing with me. Am I going to pray for President Biden? I remember the first day I referred to him as President Biden, and I lost friends that day because they wouldn't acknowledge that he was even the president. Now, I'm not talking about whether or not it was fair, whether or not it was rigged. I'm not even going there. The point is, the Bible says to pray for your president, for the president. You don't have to agree with him, but the Bible says to pray for him. A lot of Christians now have absolved their responsibility. They've stopped their responsibility. And actually, if you advocate your post as an intercessor for the government, whether you agree with them or not, you're taking your hands off of them and you're saying, well, I don't want to repeat that. But basically what you're saying is, I'm not going to pray for you. I'm withdrawing my prayer over your life that you come to the Lord. And you're literally taking your hands off of them so that forces of darkness and demons can run their lives and their policies and their decisions. Does that make sense? It was very difficult for me because this is not personal. I'm being honest with you. It was very difficult for me because this was not what I personally wanted, okay, personally. But I will say this, we cannot be so polarized in our holding on to a person that we do not obey the Bible. We do not have to agree, but we need to pray. Demonic infrastructures be broken off. Jesus visited him in the night. Do you know how many times God has come to rulers that did not obey God and did not serve God? Think about Nebuchadnezzar. Think about Pharaoh. Think about when Abraham went in with Sarah, his wife, and Pharaoh took her, and God came to him in a dream. God can come to people that we think are not worthy to hear from God or not able to. If we will pray, God can invade their dreams. He can speak to them. Do you understand? We need to pray for them. We're not blessing the evil that they do. We're not blessing the things that are against the Bible or against godliness. We're not doing that. but we cannot advocate our role to pray for them, okay? This is one of the things that, I don't even have that in my notes, but that's one of the things that I'm seeing that is a fruit from the prophetic movement right now. They're saying, nope, hold out, don't even pray for this guy. But that's not what the Bible says. Amen. We need to pray, okay? We cannot write scripture while we're waiting for a fulfillment of something else. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Okay.
Yep.
I know some of the things I'm kind of alluding to are difficult, but if you will bear me out and if you will give me patience, we're going into the heart of God, because these are some things that need to be addressed, okay? We cannot be mean-spirited towards the people around us and advocate our role as prophetic voices, as those that decree the will of the Lord, and those that intercede for our government, okay? One of the things that, so do you know, God can change your heart in a dream, can't he? It's not like I started agreeing with all the stuff that I felt like I still didn't agree with, but I had a heart to be able to be softened, to say, God, if that man can lower his head below mine in a dream, he can submit to the will of God and be led by your spirit. Because the Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it any way, which way he will. Of course, it doesn't always happen the way God wants it, but we still need to pray. Does that make sense? That's simple Christianity 101, okay? And whether or not you believe he's not going to be there long, that God's going to, you know, overturn this whole thing and whatever, that's okay for you to believe that, if that's something you've received from the Lord. But in the meantime, you still are supposed to be praying for the people that are running the country. Trust me, you want to be praying for the person holding the football, if you know what I mean. Okay? You want to be praying for the person that is in charge of the DOD. Okay? So let's not advocate our role as loving, humble Christians that move in authority to pray and to change our country, and trust God to change hearts, okay? So I'm going to skip ahead, and I'll share with you this. I want to share with you a little bit about the journey I've been on. Is that okay? Are you guys okay with this? And does anybody want to add anything before I move on? Let me go to the second page. Thank you, Joanne. Does anybody want to add anything before I move on? You guys are awesome. Thank you for listening. And I do want to say this before you speak, Jenny. I want to say, I am finding my way in this. Please, this is not ever going to be an either-or discussion. This is a forum, okay? I'm trying to find my way in this. And I'm inviting you to find your way with me. But where I'm going with this is back into the heart of God to rebuild the prophetic movement in a place of accountability, holiness, humility, and biblically, okay? So we're going to be talking about what is a false prophet. We're not going to be talking about names. We're talking about attributes, false prophets versus false prophecy or immature prophecy, because how many of you know you can be a false, you can have a false prophecy or an immature prophecy, and it doesn't make you a false prophet, okay? We're going to talk about those things. We're going to talk about what's a false prophecy. We're going to talk about the fruit of a false prophet versus an immature prophet or an immature prophecy, okay? We're going to do that in the seasons ahead. So thank you for letting me just share my heart, and please feel free to speak up anytime. Go ahead, Jenny. Did you want to say something, honey?
It had to do with a festival shot that you mentioned earlier when you were sharing the things for 2021. I don't know, we kind of switch into more serious mode, so I don't know if this is now past that momentum or not, but I'll just say it. Festal Shout is from the English Standard Version in Psalm 89, and actually I would love to promote from verse 14 all the way to verse 18, and when you read those, you'll know why I'm mentioning beyond just verse 15. Verse 15 is where the word Festal Shout in ESV, English Standard Version, has. But from verse 14 all the way to 18 is the heart of it. And God has given me that song prophetically years ago. And I actually sang at Firepoint Church launching in 2012. But recently when Pastor Julie had mentioned for this new year, that word had came to her and reminded her of the song that I released. I was researching the Festal Shout more with prayer. And so I got to read more articles and what others shared about it too. So just quickly, what I wanted to share on that is Festal Shout has twofold. One is obviously the jubilant shout, which is rejoicing, right? It's jubilant, rejoicing. But also the other, so one of the twofold, the other side is a war cry. And when we say war cry, it's not just like, oh my goodness, we gotta fight, like desperate war cry, but it's more of like that, I mean, there is that desperateness too, but it's also the victorious, triumphant war cry, knowing that Jesus has already won the victory. And we just gotta, you know, walk in faith, believing that. And it's also a jubilant celebration, not only when the breakthrough or victory is manifesting in our eyes, but even when it's when nothing indicates that, even if it's in the long or short waiting, still celebrating the victory with that jubilant shout. So it's basically based on acknowledging who Jesus is and what he has done, not just based on what we see now, but who he is and what he has done and what we believe in him. So I just wanted to make that point. And as we do that, that jubilant, that festal shout, that war cry, it is also resounding forth that worship. And several weeks ago, Michelle Farias mentioned about impact. And when we release that sound, it's releasing impact beyond influence. And that will bring up the changes too, as impact is released into the atmosphere. And so I just wanted to share that because it goes together. And then that several weeks ago when Michelle shared that, Debbie also shared about higher worship. When we go into the higher worship, God also gives us wisdom, not only like what we discern, but also wisdom along with discernment too. So and lastly, you know, I mean, the Bible says rejoice in the Lord always. And the word always means always. It's because no matter what happens or even not happens, Jesus, that the reason of Jesus being Jesus and who he is and what he is to us, that is already enough for us to, you know, rejoice in him. So I just wanted to share that the revelation that God has given to me furthermore through the body of Christ about that festal shout word.
Thank you so much, Jenny. I appreciate that so much. I really feel like that's so important, and that's part of that pathway of healing and just kind of restoring our hearts and the work of restoration that the Lord's doing in this season. Amen. And actually, I feel like that the journey I've been on is in preparation for this prophetic forum. And I'm going to tell you why. It's not about, like I said, it's not about election outcomes. It's not about different streams and choosing different streams of the prophetic. It's simply about how I came to the place I'm at right now to be able to address corrections to the prophetic movement going forward based upon some fruit that I've seen going on right now. Again, not picking sides, not choosing outcomes, not even saying one outcome is true and one outcome is not, but simply saying these are things that we need to be addressing as we mature in the prophetic, okay? We can't just go on the way we've gone, because if you're aware of what I'm aware of, I have never seen more division in the United States of America or in the body of Christ as I've seen now. I've been serving the Lord since I was four. I've actually been serving the Lord since I was 14. I got saved at four. And a house divided cannot stand. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to house and minister in this great revival that's coming and be able to share and steward the glory of God, we've got to come to a place of humility and love, being able to be in one accord, serving each other, loving each other, and learn to flow together in unity, not conformity, and not even agreeing with every single thing, but at least getting to places where we're walking in love, respect, and honor towards each other as members of the body of Christ. Amen. The day of what happened at the Capitol, okay? Now, I want you to keep in mind that when I'm talking about all the stuff I'm going to be talking about, I've heard and know in my mind about every single thing that there is to say about it, because I get bombarded with all the different ideas. I watch all the different streams. I hear a lot of different things, so I'm not ignorant of the different possibilities and understandings of what's been going on in different arenas. I am aware of these things. I wasn't there, but let me share with you what happened to me on that day. I will be honest with you. Up till this day, I had continued to be part of and led prayer meetings for Donald Trump to be reelected. Again, I'm not going to share any of this regarding outcomes or what's going to happen in the future. I'm just sharing with you where I'm at right now and how I got to where I am right now. I had been leading prayer meetings for months about that Donald Trump will be reelected. I had been praying it. On this call, I had been asked, Jeannie, will Donald Trump be reelected? I don't know if it was actually on this call, but I know it was at least on my prayer call. And I said, based upon something I had a vision of, or an impression of, I should say, that yes, I believe so, absolutely. Because before the election, I've been praying for him to be, to get reinstated. And several days before the election, I'd been praying and praying, seeking the Lord. And because I'm not saying I'm speaking for the Lord, it's just my own personal thing. I felt like he was God's choice. I believed it, I prayed it, and I confessed it, and I sought the Lord, and I went on a fast. And on that fast, after praying for days for him to be reelected, I felt like I heard the Lord say, now stop praying for his reelection and begin to pray for his new administration because the people around him have betrayed him. Well, I assumed that by his new administration, he meant that it would be the new administration in the White House. So when people asked me, will he be reelected? I said, I absolutely believe so, yes, based upon that. I have repented of that. And if you heard me say that, I am publicly repenting now for saying that. It was true what he said, but remember, and we'll learn more about this, the anatomy of the prophetic is, number one, revelation, which is very pure, usually. It's usually very pure. If it's from the Lord, it is pure. But then there's the interpretation of it. I assume that when the Lord said, now stop praying for his reelection because and begin praying for his new administration, that new administration was in the White House. Turns out he does have a new administration, but it's at the office of the ex-president, okay, which he's already fired, I think, a bunch of them even, but not sure about all that. But the point is that I assumed. Now, we know the saying about assuming. So you are going to be learning from my example of how I completely missed it, and you're going to take that. And then you're going to form your own opinions between you and the Lord. And that is okay, all right? You're just going to take the little G.D. Richardson ideas and my heart journey, and then you're going to take it into the grid of where you're at, okay? If maybe you voted for Joe Biden, that's okay. That's between you and the Lord. This is a safe place. I love you. I have many brothers and sisters, millions of them, that voted for Joe Biden. Okay, they are my brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are one body in Jesus. The Lord's going to have to work out all the rest. Okay, this is a safe place. This is a place where we need to get to, where we can share, we can talk, we can be honest and vulnerable with each other and not cut people off that we're called to work with to build the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? Okay. So what happened was the day of the election, I was on a prayer call. In fact, I believe Alice was on that with me. It was actually during that time of whatever was going on there at the Capitol on the 6th of January. I was on a prayer call with Alice and with some others, and we were praying for Donald Trump to be reelected because, you know, we're going to stand with the prophets, okay? So I will explain that later, but we're praying, we're believing God, and then that stuff happened at the White House, but we didn't know it. At this time, I had a vision on the inside of me. I saw the Capitol building, and then I saw Jesus, and he was standing with a crown on his head, and he was wearing the most unusual and beautiful crown. I'd never seen one like it. It was the dome of the Capitol building made into a glorious, beautiful crown. And that was before I knew of the uprising or whatever happened there at the Capitol building on the 6th. It was during that time I saw Jesus wearing a crown, and it was the dome of the Capitol building. And he was saying, I am the King of Kings and I am the Lord of Lords. Nothing and no one is going to strip Jesus of his lordship. Amen. Does that make sense? And the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Revelation 11:15. Amen. What I want to share with you is a personal journey I've been on and why and how we're kind of coming into this place of purifying the prophetic. I'll be teaching much on purifying the prophetic. But more than that, I want to share with you and cause you to begin to have your eyes open to see the beauty of Jesus as never before. We prophesy out of our relationship with Jesus. Revelation 19:10 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I want to introduce you to him again. I want to introduce you to the prophetic again and the beauty of who he is. What does it mean to prophesy the life of God into people's lives? What we've seen in the prophetic is not the total or whole sum of what it is or what it should be. The Bible says that those that prophesy, prophesy edification, exhortation, and comfort. Amen. The Bible says that as we behold him in 2 Corinthians 3:18, as we behold him, we become his image. You become what you behold. So I want us to begin to behold him even in the prophetic. Amen. So I have to be on, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to share with you a personal journey of mine. Is that okay? After I heard about what happened that night in the nation's capital and the fallout from it in different streams of media, not just on media streams that we listen to, but on other media streams as well, because I didn't listen to just one. I listened to a couple of them to try to figure out what was going on. The point is that something fractured on the inside of me. I saw just like I saw on that flag and I saw that jagged cut, I saw myself fracture on the inside, and it went all the way down to my core. And I believe that that night, something began to happen in me personally. But I began to see it in other areas, not only in the prophetic movement. I saw it in our nation. I saw it in churches. I saw it in relationships. And something happened in me that night on the 6th. And I know you all know what I'm talking about. And I don't have a context of everything that happened, but I will tell you this. It was that night that I began to have hope deferred in my heart. And I know many of you that have walked with me, you've felt it, you've seen it, you've heard me, you know that I got really heartsick. And as a leader in a church, that's very dangerous, because it's hard to be vulnerable with people and you're a leader and they're like, oh my God, what happened to Pastor Jeannie? I got really heartsick. I was so discouraged. I was so sad. Something broke in my heart, and it's taken a while now to begin to see a rebuilding and to be able to reposition myself in the Lord in a new way. And I felt on the inside of me a breaking that went down to my core, and I saw myself, I'm going to be honest with you, I saw myself taking my hook off of Donald Trump as my savior, and I put it back on Jesus again. Now, wow. I have to be honest with you, and I'm going to share with you my journey over the weeks ahead. Remember, I didn't have a father growing up. I somehow put so much emphasis on having to have that man as my leader that it distracted me. And I didn't realize it. And the Lord like took my face and put it back on him. Now I'm not inferring one way or the other about who he is or leadership, or I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about me. okay? Do you understand? I'm talking about me now, okay? God has a path and a plan for Donald Trump, and I will continue to pray that God fulfills that, whatever that is. But for me, I was broken down to the core, and God, and that night, there was this reaction that said, stop, take a step back, and look and find where Jesus is in your life, and begin to follow him in a new way. Take your hook off of Donald Trump and put it back on Jesus. He is your source. He is your life. He is the Savior. I had misplaced my hope. Does that make sense? I'm telling you about my journey, okay? So what happened was, I continued to stand, even though I was heart sick. I still continued to stand all the way until the time that day of the inauguration. I was continuing to stand, praying and confessing God's word, because I wanted to align with the prophets. I wanted to believe with the prophets, and I want to stand with the prophets. But not once did I go before the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want? Now, again, when I say this, I'm not inferring any of the above. I'm just telling you my journey. It is so important that we go into a season now of seeking Jesus, the prophet, above prophets.